faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your helps in our lives. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you for your presence and power, working mighty things in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your joy that fills our hearts. Thank you for your peace that fills our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for enlightening our understanding. Thank you for making us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for making us stronger than sin, stronger than temptations, stronger than the forces of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for liberating us from all captivities of darkness. You said in your word that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you, because you have established us in the truth, and now we are free because of your truth. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all the wonderful things you have been teaching us through the Bible study classes we do on this platform. We thank you for the transformation these teachings and knowledge have wrought in our lives. Oh Lord, we have come before you once again this evening to learn from you, to know more of your will, your wisdom, and your ways. Lord, teach us expressly by your Holy Spirit, even as I will be doing the talking. Lord, I want you to speak to everyone individually in their hearts and minds. Make everyone understand today's teaching even better than what I will be saying from here. Make everyone here understand by your power, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you will do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And last week we discussed on spiritual gifts. If you can remember, the topic of last week says angels are in all spiritual gifts. And I told you last week that I'm going to be asking questions. Yeah, for those of you that are present last week, especially those of you that joined Helly, that joined the class Helly, I said starting from today, I will be asking questions based on what you have been taught on this platform. Yeah, I believe you can remember. Yeah, so I'm going to ask just one question, and you, when you, after you have heard the question, you can type your answers at the comment section, which some of you know that place. The comment section, you can look for it on the on this page, on this hub. The comment section is that place that gives you is that place where you can chat. Yeah, you're going to see chat. CHAT. Yeah, so you can respond to the question by clicking on that chat and typing the answer. Yeah, so while I continue while I continue today's teaching, you should type the answers. Yeah. Then later I will check and make my comment. So all of you should type your answers as you know it. Yeah. So this is the question. I mean, based on what you know, type your answers. Yeah, based on what you know. So the question is, I remember I gave two definitions for spiritual gift. I defined spiritual gifts in two ways. Yeah, so the question is that you should provide those definitions. Yeah, provide the two definitions I gave spiritual gifts last week. Yeah. I believe you understand the question. Yeah. By definition, I mean, what is spiritual gift? That's the question. What is spiritual gift? I gave two definitions. So what are those two definitions I gave last Tuesday? Two definitions of spiritual gifts. Now, what is a spiritual gift? Yeah, so provide those two definitions that I gave, and I will look at your answers later. Yeah, so as you are typing, make sure you are following what I'm saying too at the same time. Yeah, because we are moving to a new topic today. Yeah, so provide those two definitions as the teaching continues. Yeah, then when I'm done, I will look at your definitions and give my comments. So all of you should do that. As many of you that can remember those two definitions. Yeah, the Lord bless you as you obey. Now let's move to to this topic. Today, we'll be discussing on this topic, angels can enter inside anything God created and walk there. Yeah, I know the topic is long. I'm going to take it again. Angels can enter inside anything God created and walk there. Angels can enter inside anything God created and do their works there. Yeah, is there a short way to present the topic? Yeah, that's just the way I can present it. Yeah, angels can enter inside anything God created to do operations there. Yeah, so that is what we are going to be talking about today. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16 to 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Here it says Jesus is the one holding all things together because he's the one that created all things, and all things were created by him and for him. Yeah, that verse 17, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. If you read that verse 17, Colossians chapter 1 verse 17, if you read that verse 17 in New Living Translation, it says that Jesus is the one holding all together. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. I'm reading from New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. It existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He holds all creation together. Jesus is the Lord of hosts. That is, he doesn't operate alone. He is the captain of the heavenly hosts. Jesus is the captain of the heavenly hosts. So he doesn't function alone. Just as a captain doesn't fight the battle alone, a general doesn't fight the battle alone. He leads his army into battles. So the same applies to Jesus. So Jesus doesn't fight alone. He leads his army into battles. Other translations refers to the Lord of hosts as the God of heaven's armies. King James Version says the Lord of hosts. Other translations like New Living Translation says the God of heaven's armies. Yeah, so Jesus, who is the Lord of hosts, does not walk alone. He doesn't fight alone. So he fights alongside with his angels. So now, if the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 verse 17, if the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one holding all creation together, let me read again. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. So if the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one holding all creation together, and then also the Bible tells us that Jesus is the captain of the hosts of heaven, the Lord of hosts, the God of heaven's armies, then that means that wherever Jesus is, his angels are also there. And whatever Jesus does, his angels are also doing the same. Since he walk alongside with them, they walk together. So which means that Jesus can mobilize his army into where he resides or where he functions. I want you to listen carefully, so that you get everything I'm saying. The Bible says that Jesus is the one holding all creation together. So which means that your body is together, because Jesus is holding it together. Do you believe that? So which means Jesus is the one holding each cell of your body together. And he's the one holding many cells together. You know, they taught us in school, when I was studying biology, they taught us that the body is made up of cells, that some cells, they come together and then they form tissues, and then some tissues come together and then they form an organ. And then these organs, they also come together and then they form a system. And then they told us that the body has so many systems governing it. They told us that the body has a respiratory system, cardiovascular system, or circulatory system. They told us that the body also has nervous system, respiratory system, for instance, includes your lungs, all the organs you are using to breathe in air and to breathe out. Those organs form the respiratory system. And then all the organs that are involved in the pumping of blood throughout your body. Yeah. The pumping of oxygenated blood. And then the drainage of deoxygenated blood. I know some of you might not understand these terms. Yeah. All those organs that are involved in circulating blood throughout your body system. Those organs, they form cardiovascular system. Organs like your heart, your blood vessels. Yeah. And of course, capillaries. Yeah. So all these terms, you don't need to bother about them. But what I'm saying is that each of the organs in your body, they are made up of tissues. And those tissues are made up of cells. Yeah. So now you should see Jesus as the one holding each cell, because the cell is the smallest unit. Yeah. Of a living thing. Yeah. The cell is the smallest unit. It is when we have many cells, when many cells come together, that a tissue forms. Like your muscles, they are tissues. The fats in your body is a tissue. Yeah. So when these tissues come together, they form an organ. And when the organs work together, they form a system. And this is how your entire body system is functioning. So now Jesus is the one holding all those organs together, all those tissues together, and each cell, each living cell, Jesus is the one holding them together. In fact, your blood is also a type of tissue. Yeah, they call it a connective tissue. Your blood is a tissue. Yeah, because your blood is, your blood comprises of cells. Red blood cells, white blood cells. So Jesus is the one holding each cell of your body together. And not only that, let's leave the body system. Let's talk about the things that we see on the outside. What are the things you can see right there where you are in your house? And let's say you are staying in the room. You can see your bed. Maybe you are sitting on your bed, or you are lying down your bed, or you are sitting on the chair. Everything you can see around you, Jesus is the one holding them together. I don't know if you believe that. Do you believe? Even the hair that you breathe in, Jesus is the one holding it together. The whole world, the earth, the trees, the waters, the ground, one holding all things together, because it says he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He holds all creation together. to the most dangerous person in existence. He's not the devil. I believe you know that. The most dangerous person in existence is not Satan. It's not witchcraft. It's not sickness and diseases. It's not principalities and powers. The most dangerous thing or person in existence is Jesus. Yeah, do you know that? Do you agree with me? That the most dangerous person in existence is Jesus. How? Because he's the one holding all creation together. Yeah. So if he wants to destroy all creation, what will he do? He just needs to stop holding them together. And everything will dissolve. You know, the way you can throw a cube of sugar into water, and then the sugar starts dissolving. Yeah, that is the way the whole world will dissolve if Jesus steps out of them. If Jesus steps out of all things, everything will dissolve. They will dematerialize. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, including the devil. Yeah, because the devil is part of God's creation. Yeah, Satan did not create himself, he was created. The demons, they were all created. Principalities, powers of darkness, they were all created. Yeah. So the only one that can, the only person they fear most, all of them, is Jesus. Yeah, because he's the only one that can terminate their existence within the twinkle of an eye. They are gone. As beautiful as this, the whole world is, it doesn't cost Jesus 1 second to dissolve everything. I mean, it doesn't cost him a second. I don't know if you are getting my point. I like when I teach that people understand. I don't teach just to sound nice or to sound powerful or to sound like someone that has revelations. That's not why I teach. I teach so that you can understand. Yeah. So that is why I spend time trying to break things down so you can understand. Yeah, so Jesus is the most dangerous person in existence because he's the one holding all things together. So in less than a second, if he steps out, or maybe I should say, if he gives up holding all things together, everything will dissolve. I mean, everything will dissolve. And that is why God, in his mercy, decided to bind himself by covenant and by his word. Yeah, I know this is different from the scope of our, this is a bit different from the scope of the teaching, which says, angels can enter into anything God created and do operations there and work there. I'm still coming back to that. Yeah. Because God knows how dangerous he is. That is why he bound himself by covenants. And he bound himself by his word. Yeah. And he also binds himself by time. Yeah, so that is why many people are still surviving, even people that are not supposed to survive, because they have done terrible things. And God has not yet killed them or destroyed them. Yeah, God knows that if he doesn't bind himself by covenant. Now, what do I mean by him binding himself by covenant? Like we have the old covenant, we have the new covenant. Yeah, so God has set time for judging the earth. Yeah, he has set time of mercy for everyone to repent from their sins, surrender their life to Jesus, and be saved. So God has set time for everything. And that is why, despite the level of wickedness that is in the world today, the world has not yet dissolved. The world has, the world is still together. The world is still surviving. Yeah, because we should have been destroyed, considering how wicked our generation and even the past generations. Yeah, we should have been destroyed by Jesus. But the reason why we are not yet destroyed and the whole world is still together is because God has set time for his judgment. And he has bound himself by covenant. Yeah, so he's still waiting for many sinners to come to repentance. Now, the reason why I said we should have been destroyed is because the first person that is offended, the first person that feels hurt whenever anyone commits sin is Jesus. The first person that feels pain, the first person that feels hurt, as in H-U-R-T, the first person that feels pain, that gets offended every time anyone commits sin, that person is Jesus. And you know why? Because he's the one holding all things together. So he's the one that feels the pain the most. Yeah. So every sin we commit in the head, I have said it before, is like a stab on God's heart. A stab, like when you stab someone with knife. It's like stabbing the heart of God with a knife. Yeah, because God is the one holding all things together. So he feels the sin first. Yeah, and you know how painful it is? He's the one holding all things together. And it's so easy for him to just let all things perish. It's just so easy. It's just like when you're holding egg. Yeah, many of you know what an egg is, because some of you hit eggs. Yeah, you know how you can hold an egg in your hand. Yeah, so let's say for instance you are holding an egg in your hand. Yeah, and that egg is alive, and then the egg kept on puncturing your hand with nails. You're holding the egg, and then the egg kept on piercing your hands with nails. Yeah, and then you look at the egg, and then you begin to say, all I need to do is just to drop you down, and then you are gone. Yeah, because once you drop an egg down, it breaks into pieces. Yeah, but somehow you felt, well, let me endure the pains. Because of love, let me endure the pains. Let me not crush this egg. Now, so that is how God is holding all creation together. All creation keeps on causing him pains, hurting him through the sins we commit. Now, you might not know this thing if you don't know God very closely. You might not really know how much pain he endures every second. Yeah, but for somebody like me, who have gotten a share of those pains, yeah, I know how much pains God endures. And the one that he shared with me is just a fragment. Yeah, because if you are an intercessor, you get to a point when you have grown as an intercessor, you get to a point where God can share his pains with you. The level of pains he endures every second. And you will understand that those pains are as a result of the sins of the world. The wickedness of everyone in the world. Yeah, so if God is able to share a fragment, because the one that he shared with me, I can't even say is 1%. Maybe 0.00000001%. Yeah. It's just a tiny fragment. And that one, I cannot pray that you feel that pain. I mean, just the fragment of his pain that he shared with me. I cannot pray for my enemy to feel that pain, because it's so unbearable. And then I begin to ask myself, so this is what God endures every second. So God endures this level of pain every second. And then somebody will sit down and devise evil in his or her heart, and went ahead and carry out the sin. Not knowing that someone, the owner of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all things, is enduring pains to ensure that the person continues to survive. Yeah, because if God says I'm no longer enduring the pains, the universe, means on creation. It's gone. Yeah. Everything will just dissolve and perish. All of a sudden. I don't know if you're getting my point. So for every sin you commit, the first person that feels the pain is Jesus. And yet, he has decided not to take action immediately. He has decided to endure those pains. He has decided to give many of us opportunities to repent. So which many people don't want to repent? Yeah. May God have mercy on this generation. So, that is how dangerous Jesus is. And that is why Jesus is the only one that can kill and no one will, and no one can bring that person alive. I mean, no one can bring that person back to life. And he's the only one that can give life. And no one can kill that person. Because of where he is in his creation or in his creatures. Because he's right inside his creatures. He's the one holding all the things he created together. So that is why only Jesus can lift up a man. And no one can bring him down. And he's the only one that can bring down a man. And no one can bring him up. Because he's the one holding all creation together. Yeah, so which means he's the most dangerous person to offend. Yeah, so try as much as possible to be at peace with Jesus. Yeah, if you want to live forever. Yeah. If you want to survive, if you want to escape God's judgment, if you want to escape God's wrath, if you want to escape the lake of fire, escape hellfire, try as much as possible to be at peace with the Lord. Try as much as possible to be at peace with Jesus. Because the most dangerous person to offend is Jesus. Now, let's continue with our teaching. I said angels can enter inside anything God created and walk there. And I've explained how this is possible. Because Jesus is the one holding all creation together. And also because Jesus does not walk alone. Jesus walks together with his angels. So anywhere he is, his angels are there at the same time. And his angels can operate there at the same time. Yeah, so let's look at another scripture. In Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Verse going to read from verse 16 to 21. Matthew chapter 14, verse 16 to 21. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down. On the grass. And took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Many of you are familiar with this passage, with the story here, what happened here, you know. The people were listening to Jesus' sermons. And many of them came from far places. Yeah, so they listened to the point that they forgot they were hungry. Yeah, and they couldn't leave. They couldn't leave that place to go and get food. And it was already too late for them to even go and get food. They might even faint on the way. Yeah. So the report came to Jesus that he needs to send the people. He needs to send them away so that they will not collapse. He needs to send them away to their various places, so that they can go and get things to eat. But Jesus told the disciples that you don't need to send them away. Give them something to eat. But they were surprised that Jesus would be telling them such things, because there's no way they can get the number of food that can satisfy those people. And they don't even have the money to buy such amount of food. Yeah. But Jesus told them to bring the little that they have. Yeah, there's a lot of lessons to learn from this passage. Yeah, a lot of lessons. Yeah, which I'll still come back to that. So Jesus told them to present the little, or to bring the little that they have. And then he lifted up that little to heaven, gave thanks, and blessed it. And then he gave them to give to the people. So as they were giving those things to the people, I mean giving the bread, the loaves of bread that has been broken, yeah, because Jesus broke those loaves into baskets. I don't know how he did it, but he broke the loaves into pieces. And then, you know, the disciples, they were place where you put rent out one basket. Yeah. Jesus is wonderful. So he broke the loaves into 12 baskets. And then he gave those baskets to each of the disciples. You know, they were 12. And then he said, go and give the people. So I'm sure some of them might be wondering what is going to happen here. But they have seen a lot of miracles. So they know when Jesus gives such order. They know what it means. So they did not question him. So he said, go and give the multitude. So maybe as they were going to give the multitude, the pieces of the bread and fishes began to multiply. I don't know. Yeah, but what I know is that as they keep giving the people those food items, the food items kept on increasing. Yeah, as they keep giving the people, it kept on increasing. As they keep giving, so which means many of them collected many rounds of the food. After they have eaten and then they wanted more, they asked for more, they were given more, and till the Bible says the whole heads and were filled. And after they have been filled, there were 12 baskets, food baskets, that remained. Yeah. So the fragments of the loaves and fishes stopped multiplying after the people have eaten and they have been filled. That is the 5,000 men together with women and children, the heads and were filled. So it was when they were filled that the bread stopped multiplying. That's a powerful miracle. Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of lessons to learn from this miraculous provision of food in this passage. Yeah, let me start from the last of the lessons. Let's say, for instance, there were 500,000 people in that place that day. Do you know that they will all eat and be filled? Do you know that? If I, let's say there are 500 million people, yeah, let's say two countries, two nations of the world combined, let's say all of them were present there that day, do you know that they will all eat and be filled and there will still be excess left? Do you know that? Yeah, so it shows that the source providing the food is unlimited or endless. The power multiplying the food items is unlimited, is endless. Yeah, so in as much as there are people who keep looking up to Jesus, for provisions. The power that is available to satisfy their needs, that power is unlimited. I don't know if you are getting my point. The power that is available to satisfy the need of those who trust in the Lord, that power has no limit. Yes, in as much as we keep trusting in Jesus, that power continues to provide. It's so easy for that power to continue. We have seen similar miracles during the time of famine in Israel. And Elijah visited a widow. And that widow was going to prepare the last meal in the house so that she and her son can eat and then die eventually, because that was the last meal. And then there was no way they would get any other food supply. But when God came in through Elijah, God spoke through Elijah that this oil, this jar of oil and the jar of flour, I don't know how they pronounce it. He said that those two jars shall not run dry until the famine ends. So throughout the land of Israel, that woman and the child and Elijah, they had food to eat for as long as the famine was in the land. Now the question is, why is it so difficult for you to trust God if the power that is supplying your need is unlimited and that is endless? Why is it so difficult for you to trust God? Why do you trust in money than in God? Why do you trust in the things of this world than in God? So there's a power in Jesus that is able to sustain the whole world if the whole world can trust him. There's a power in Jesus that is able to sustain the people of God for as long as they will continue to trust in Jesus. Maybe years. That power is in Jesus. If the people of God can trust him. But many of us are not trusting him. Because Jesus allowed you to get a job and had some money, doesn't mean you should now trust in the job and trust in the salary as what is keeping you alive, as what should sustain you. The fact that Jesus made you to have a business and make some money doesn't mean you should trust in the business as what is sustaining you. Because it is not the business that is sustaining you, it is Jesus. It is not the money you get from the government that is sustaining you. It is Jesus. So we should trust in Jesus. Whether you have a job or you don't have a job, whether you have money or you don't have, you should trust in Jesus. Because the money we feel, the job we feel, the business will fail. On its own, they will fail. But when your trust is in Jesus, then Jesus will not fail. I don't know if you're getting something from what I'm saying. So, Jesus, through his angels, fed those people in this passage. Yeah. Because his angels were inside those food items, multiplying those food items. Yeah, to feed those thousands of people. So the same way Jesus can multiply anything. Yeah, but some people, they think God is a magician. So they feel like, if Jesus does miracles like this, then I have some portion of rice in the kitchen. So now let Jesus make those rice multiply right now. I'm going to lock the door of the kitchen. I'm going to wait for 2 hours and come back. By the time I come back, I want to see those rice multiply. That is not how this kind of miracle work. Yeah. If you look at the situation, the people in this passageway, it is obvious that there is no way they could get food by themselves without running into problems. Because they all came from very far places. Yeah. So even before they could reach where to get food. So some of them even had money. Some of the people here. Some of those people in this passage that Jesus fed. They had money. Yeah. So there's no way they could go and get food and not collapse on the way. Yeah, so it's kind of difficult for them. So the only way to save them was to do that miracle. Yeah, so if there are other ways through which Jesus can meet your need, you don't have to do this type of miracle, or you don't have to do it in this manner. You can do it in other dimensions. In other ways. I don't know if you are getting my point. Yeah. So, don't be like those that they want God to perform magic. And God doesn't work. He doesn't do magic. God does miracles. Not magic. Yeah. And the difference between magic and miracle is that magic is according to the will of man, but miracle is according to the will of God. Yeah. So if God has other ways through which he can sustain you, he will not have to do this type of miracles. Because it's not necessary. Yeah. And then, like I said earlier, there are other lessons to learn from this passage, but since I am not really talking about financial provision, I'm talking about angels and their operations. Yeah, so I don't need to mention those other lessons. So let's go to another scripture. Let's read Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 3. Revelation 7, 1 to 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the law of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Yeah, so in this place you can see that there are angels holding, standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. So they have the power to withdraw the wind from blowing. Yeah. They have the power to do things like this. Yeah. They have the power to withdraw the wind from blowing on the earth, from blowing on the sea, from blowing on the tree. Yeah, I think some time ago, I had an encounter with one of these angels. Yeah, I was able to meet with one of these four angels that are standing on the four corners of the earth. Yeah, and that was when I knew that these are the angels that take record of every child that is born into the world. Every child that comes from God. That is born into the world. These angels, they also take record of everyone that is born into the world. And not only that, they take record of what that person has been sent into the world to become, to do. That is, they take record of the purpose of God for each person that is born into the world, what that person is on earth to do. These angels also take record of that. Yeah, and not only that, they also take record of how much of riches and wealth each person on earth should have, according to what God has called them to do for him, or what God has sent them to do for him on earth. Yeah. So angels are holding many of the elements of the earth. They're holding them about the angels in charge of the water. Yeah. Jesus has put them in charge of the things he created. Now let's look at the other scripture before we run off. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16. Verse 4 to 6. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy, that is, they deserve to drink blood, because of the wicked things they have done." Praise the Lord. So, you can see here that there's another angel holding the waters together. Every way or everything there is water, whether it's the oceans, the rivers, the sea, yeah, the springs, everything that is water, or everywhere that has water, there's an angel that is holding the waters together. Yeah. Because that angel spoke in Revelation 16 verse 5. Yeah. So, angels, they have access into everything God created to do missions for God. And I pray that God release this type of angels into your life to do his mighty works in your life in Jesus' name. For as many of you that have faith, I pray that God release this kind of his angels into your life that is able to enter into anything, any realm, any way to do mighty things for God. May the Lord do so in your life in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to, before I pray, I'm going to look at the response to the questions. The question that I asked. So here, 1, 2, 3, 4. Brother Charles, Sister Moline, Sister Dorothy. Yeah, so, Sister Suzanne said spiritual gifts are tools through which God carries out his operation on earth. They are stamps through which legal authority is given to carry out God's assignment. Okay, that's good. Sister Eleni, tools through which God uses his children to serve him. Yes, that's also good. And also seeds that God places upon believers to be to enable them to do his work on earth. Good. Yeah, that's excellent. Brother Charles, it's an anointing that carries the gift to carry God's assignment. Yeah, that's good. I said something like this too, I remember. Yeah. The anointing carries spiritual gift in it. Yeah, that's good, Bro Charles. And then, Sister Moline, they are instruments through the Holy Spirit, through which the Holy Spirit does the work of God on earth. They also divine stamps upon a person. Very good. Sister Dorothy, they are tools through which the Holy Spirit carries out operations on earth. And then also divine seals from heaven upon a man to carry out God's assignments on earth. Very good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so, thanks for responding. Yeah, and I'm sure everything I have said today, you took notes of them and also paid attention very well, because I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to ask questions next Tuesday based on what I have said today as well. Yeah, so I hope you all took notes during today's teaching. Yeah, if you have questions based on what we have discussed today, that is based on today's topic, you can type your question on the group. And if you feel like you don't want to be noticed on the group, you can send the question to me personally. And whenever I have time, I will respond. The difference between you sending the question to the group and sending it to me personally is that there is a tendency for me to reply your question, to answer your question faster or quicker if you send it to the group. Yeah, but if you send to me personally, it might take some time. Yeah, because I will answer when I have the time. Yeah, when I have a spare time to answer. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for what you have taught us today. Thank you for showing us how your angels have access to everything you have created. How they are able to penetrate into any way you are, any realm you are. And we know that you are in all realms. And we know that you are in everything. And we know that you can do anything at any time, in any way, in every way, and in everything. you are the one holding all things together. Thank you for showing us that if we can trust you, you can sustain us, you can feed us, bless us. Miracles of provisions. Thank you for showing us that we don't need to trust in money or our jobs or in our salaries or in our businesses. Thank you for showing us that we don't need to trust in our bank accounts. We just need to trust you. And you will multiply it to be complete. And we don't need to know how you will do it. We just know you're going to do it. Thank you for all these things you have taught us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you also for showing us how you endure serious pains every second because of the sinfulness and corruption and wickedness that has filled the earth at this time. I ask, O Lord, that you teach everyone here wisdom to live a holy life, wisdom to forsake sin, wisdom to deny themselves, so as to please you. Lord, teach everyone wisdom so that they would not suffer terrible judgment from you on the last day. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have answered.